Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips to the PC. It is Sunday, the 8th of February, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites Live. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
Yay! And we're back. 6 minutes after the hour, we are back, baby. We are back. We're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, things to lose. Maybe we'll even get ourselves set up in time to do the show.
Yeah, we haven't done this in so long, we all forgot how.
We're out of practice. We're all sitting in the break room thinking, okay, we got plenty. Holy cow, it's 2 minutes after! Let's get in the other room!
Alex had to come and bail us out.
Well, how long has it been since we had to start on a particular time, so...
I think that was back in December. In January, I think.
Might have been. All right, yeah, as you all know, every week at Soundbites, we do a poll. This week's poll is about an item I read in the news, as so many of them are. Dave's going to bring up the poll so I can actually look at it in a moment.
Yep.
But here's the deal. Google, on Friday, released a mobile version of its Google Book Search, which means iPhone or Android phone users will be able to read Mark Twain or Jane Austen on the train or in the park.
The question, according to analysts, is will they want to? Even with people with younger eyes than mine, I see few people really reading on their iPhones, said Gordon Half, an analyst at Illuminata Inc. Google has a rather long time horizon on this. On a mobile phone, this is almost a technical pilot because I don't see mainstream... I was getting it out of your way. Mainstream audiences reading books, you know, online.
It's all audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks all the time on my iPod.
Right. Members of the Google Book Search mobile team announced on a blog on Thursday that Google's collection of 1.5 million mobile public domain books in the U.S. are now available on the iPhone and the Android. The books are already available for desktops and laptops via Google Book Search, but the new mobile editions are optimized to be read on a small screen, they added.
Okay, we're recording now.
Oh, excellent. Let's start all over again. Good afternoon. Oh, there we go.
I got all that for my built-in mic.
That's good. That's something anyway.
There's going to be some editing issues.
Yeah. We'll fix it in post.
The big thing is, of course, two things. One is the very small size of the screen. And I know that Mac people are so proud of the gigantic screen on their iPhones and all that nonsense. But the reality is, in terms of an iBook sort of thing, it's still a very, very small screen. And so the question is, are people going to want to read books on a screen that small with any regularity? I mean, once in a while, maybe look up a technical document, something like that. I can certainly see that. But I don't know that anybody's going to want to really read anything.
You know, I've been asking around, Nick, and I can't even find anybody that has admitted that they've actually watched an entire movie on an iPod.
People don't.
I don't think so.
That's what they have widescreen TVs for.
If you're home and not in the airport terminal.
Why is everything on this computer on the wrong side? All right, there we go. But that's at any rate,
totally
that's
dysfunctional today.
Yeah, we really are. But at any rate, that's the point, and that's what we're looking at. So the question is, do you read ebooks? And the choices are never, once in a while, all the time, and e what now? So far, we've actually had 82 people hungry for a new poll who have answered the poll. Clearly, our listeners are in the mainstream of the world market because the 62% of you said never. Now, of course, when you're done with the poll, you're going to want to talk more because I know you folks. I know you folks. So you're going to want to click on that little yellow box underneath that will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Nice. Where you can, and yes, we all have, where you can enter an actual opinion up to 256 characters into the system, and maybe it's 255. I think it's 255, and then come on back, and while you're there, check out my stuff. I do rants and raves and questions and answers and tips and tricks and websites and all kinds of stuff. It's only $15 a year. I have no idea why you're not a member. For a price that cheap, even in this economy, you can afford $15 a year, for Pete's sake. And my family and I would thank you for that.
$1.08 a month, I think that comes out.
That's very good. Thank you. It's hardly more than a buck a month, for Pete's sake. Then come on back to the Soundbites website where you get the forums where some of the craziest people on earth are. I have to work, as my friend Emily Carpenter says, on monetizing my web presence.
You've got the buzzwords down, at least.
I got the buzzwords down. I haven't done anything with them, but I've got the buzzwords down. I'm on, what's it called? Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. And, of course, we're in Second Life. I'm just lousy on the web. I'm just kind of everywhere nowadays on the intertubes.
Unfortunately, most of that seems to be, here's my resume, do you have a job for me?
Well, there is a lot of that, I'm afraid. Yes, indeed. And that's kind of a problem everywhere, really.
Yeah, two of my friends just got laid off this week from two different companies.
And I read
about it on Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it works.
I mean, it's happening all over.
But, you know, the one that shocked me was Facebook. I mean, I've been in Twitter for a little while, and there are people who found me and people who've joined up to follow what I write whenever I actually write something. And LinkedIn, of course, is all about
professional stuff.
And so, you know, there's all the people from RIT and all the people from here and there that I've got. Facebook, I was on Facebook like an hour, and suddenly, hey, Nick, I see you're on Facebook. Be my friend, whatever. And it's all people I know. It's not like random jerks off the street.
Yeah, but you know everybody, so.
I don't know everybody.
And you're related to everybody else.
I am related to everybody else, yes.
In fact, I joined Facebook so I could follow someone, and I got turned down as their friend.
That's my buddy Steve.
Just a word of caution for folks that are, if you're looking at the webcam, I can tell you right now, it's about an hour off.
Ahead or behind?
Behind. Because I see right now me just coming into the studio talking to Alex.
And yet, to me, that was a legitimate question.
So don't view the webcam. You'll see us in an hour.
There will be a seminar on time transport yesterday at noon.
Yeah. So sign up tomorrow.
I've got to correct my math, though. It's $1.24 a month for AskNick.com, but it's still a bargain.
Less than a buck and a quarter a month. I don't know how you can say no to it. So thank you.
That's AskNick.com. She does that so well.
She does it phenomenally well.
She did go out of practice as
a professional. No, she does.
I don't think you understand. I live for the bell.
God love her.
That's what she said.
All right, then I will make sure to it that you get more bell. More bell. Not cowbell, just bell. Have you got a cowbell? It probably.
I don't know, but now I'm going to look.
Now, of course you are. This is the Clear Channel sound effects thing. I'm sure there's cowbell. Let me know, and I'll give you another Ask Nick, and you can check it out there. So, yeah, join us there. And, of course, we're in the I actually have an e-book reader. It's an old one. It's a Rocket Book. I mean, that company's been out of business since Hector was a pup.
Never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly right. But I can load, unfortunately, I can only load books from my Windows machine to it. So now I have to have a Windows machine.
I don't have to do that.
Ah, it's a pain in the neck. I blew the power supply in my Windows machine. I have to go talk to Dave at some point. Ooh. That's how old that is. But that lets me load pretty much any text file or, you know, whatever into my thing. And I really like carrying it around because I can carry hundreds, literally, truly hundreds of books with just this one little, you know, pound package, about the size of a paperback. Yeah. And my wife likes it because if she wants to sleep and I want to read, I can just put this thing on the low light and I read. And I like it because if I fall asleep while I'm reading, which I so regularly do, it goes off after a couple of minutes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. Amazon is coming out with a new version of the Kindle on Monday. So that'll be kind of interesting.
Is that confirmed? Last I heard, it was just a rumor.
Well, it continues to be a rumor. But
it's a confirmed rumor.
Yeah.
It's a confirmed rumor.
As like 90% of what you hear about Apple is.
Yeah.
It's a confirmed rumor by virtue of the fact that photos have been leaked.
Yeah, exactly. And they look like real photos. They look like actual publicity photos or you know, that sort of PR photos.
And I can't believe that Barnes & Noble or someone else in the textbook market doesn't jump on this because college students need this badly.
Well, the reason they don't is because it's a competing business. For publishers that sell paper books, they don't want electronic book readers.
But the students need them to save their backs from carrying 400 pounds of textbooks on their backpacks.
My daughter, God bless her, she looks like she's headed for the North Pole when she goes off to school in the morning. She's carrying a backpack that is thicker than she is.
Wow. And my son's in the fifth grade, and he has this huge backpack with him.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, they're like, their math book is 15 pounds. Their history book is 15 pounds. Their English book is 15 pounds. And, of course, there we go. Alex has a backpack that is, in fact, larger than she is, I believe, both by volume and weight. And it's just, it's way too much stuff to get. And look at her. She hoisted that thing up overhead. Don't mess with her because she will take you down.
She's got arms like eggplants.
I don't even know what that means, and I found it funny.
See, I always used to buy the used books because they were pre-highlighted. I just hoped there was a good student that had it ahead of me.
Yeah, that's the real question, isn't it? Unless you actually know the person, you don't know what you're getting at that point.
And then there was always the one where every single line of every single paragraph was highlighted.
Because it had been through three people like you.
Right, exactly. And I'm going, well, that might be important. What you really need is an A student who, after the exam, goes back and highlights the stuff that was in the exam.
There you go.
That's what you really need, but I don't think you get any of those. People just don't care about the community anymore. Doggone them, every one of them. All right.
I hear music.
I hear music and there's no one there. No, that's singing. I hear
you've lost
singing
me.
And there's no one there. Yeah, it's a song. It's a song.
You've confused several of the voices in my own head.
Yeah. The other day, all the voices in my head got together and they were a Greek chorus.
All right.
Ooh. Unfortunately, they were actually chanting in Greek, so I don't know what they were saying. Because it's all Greek to me.
Copyright 1950, Irving Berlin.
There you go. All right, we are going to take a break. But we will be back in just a couple of minutes, so give us a call. You know the numbers. I don't have to tell them to you, but I will. 222-1180, if you're, it's 800-295-1180 or star 1180 for Verizon Wireless customers. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 18 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We've got folks on the phone. Get to you in 1 second. I do want to tell you that there is a serious flaw in the Real Player media player from Real Networks, which could allow an attacker to take control of a PC if you opened a poison movie file or even just preview it in Windows Explorer. And this is according to a new notice from Fortinet, which is one of the security networks. The hole in Real Player 11 involves the way the program processes internet video recording or IVR files. You don't even have to actually open the downloaded file. You just have to look at it in, you know, if you double click on a folder and it opens up and you see that preview.
Yeah.
That you got hit.
Ouch.
Yeah, you got hit. So there's two things you can do. If you use Firefox and only view these movies online, you're safe. Firefox fixed the problem in their browser in 3.0.6.
So what do you this use week's for one. Audio?
On Linux?
No, PC, regular PC. What do you recommend?
Well, there are a couple of things that I use. One is VLC, which I use a lot, and I like that a lot. But if you are a user of Real Player, and there is no fix, by the way, from Real Networks. There is no fix yet, and they don't know when or if there's going to be a fix because they haven't said a thing about this yet. So the suggestion right now is uninstall Real Player until there is a fix.
Hasn't that been a suggestion for quite a while now?
Yeah.
Uninstall Real Player? Yeah.
Well, that's why I wonder, because Real Player has had so many issues that I wonder if folks should even...
Is there a difference between uninstalling it and not using it, though?
Yes.
Right, because if you open up a window... And there's a Real Player file in there, and you see the preview.
Yeah.
You've been hit. If you uninstall it, you won't see the preview.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep. Right? But there are a couple of programs. One is called Real Alternative, which is a set of codecs for others, things where you can play Real Player files without actually loading Real Player. So you should worry about those. Deal with them instead of with Steve will give
it
you.
It already is.
Yeah. Our first caller is Ginny from Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good afternoon. Glad to have you back.
We are glad to be back, too.
I have a computer with XP Home Edition and never had a password for it, so it just comes right up. I was in safe mode cleaning it with Adware, found some things, and it told me to reboot. I did that, and now I cannot get off the logon screen.
In other words, it takes you to the logon screen and it wants a password?
No, actually, it just says owner. I click on owner, and it'll say loading your settings immediately, saving your settings. And I can't get out of that. I can't get to the desktop. Tried it in safe mode. I tried Alt-Control and Delete to bring up the box that says password, but there was never a password used.
Jenny, you said you can get into safe mode?
No, I can't even get into safe mode anymore.
When you go into safe mode, there should be another user called administrator.
Yeah, but she's saying she can't
even. I tried that, too.
And it does the same thing?
And it does exactly the same thing.
Yeah, your profile is corrupted.
Yeah. What you might want to try doing, Jenny, now, is this a Dell I ticket?
No, it's just a generic computer called Expert.
Okay. What you might want to do is do an install of Windows over Windows.
I tried to put the CD in. Won't accept it.
What do you mean it won't accept the CD?
You don't, does it even try to attempt it? You know, when it's booting up, usually it'll say, you know, after a few seconds, you'll see on the screen, it'll say, hit any key to boot from CD.
I did, and it won't do it.
You may need to set your BIOS to tell it to boot from CD before the hard drive.
If not, you might be in.
Wait a minute. You can't get into BIOS
can't
either?
Can't even get into the BIOS.
That has nothing to do with Windows. You should still be able to get into BIOS.
By hitting escape?
Whatever the BIOS key is for that specific computer.
Off an F2 or F1
delete.
Or whatever.
F10, F11.
I tried that too, and it just keeps going to this one screen.
Then you're not hitting the right BIOS key. Yeah.
Either you're not hitting the right BIOS key, or there's a more serious problem with your computer that has little
That's
or nothing
I'm
to
thinking.
Do with everything else.
There's a new one out. There's been a number of these antivirus 2008 and 2009 different iterations, and even the SpyGuard. And we have seen a couple of them over the past few weeks that once you get infected, it totally renders the computer totally useless.
They are fake.
And what we've had to do with this is literally bring it in. We have to pull the hard drive out of the machine, put it on our test bench, just to get rid of just the small portion that's blocking your machine. Once we do that, then we can put it back in and start running our other tools. But it is a lengthy process and very annoying.
But you should still be able to get into BIOS. No matter what's wrong, from an empty hard drive, from with no hard drive, you should be able to get into BIOS.
Just keep trying those F keys until I find it.
It may not be an F key. It may
might be delete.
What was
or
control?
Escape.
Control escape was.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the BIOS, and there are so many different BIOS diseases.
Sometimes
it should be
on
in your
the screen
manual.
When it's booting, you might see press this key to go into startup.
Mm-hmm.
Or setup.
You gotta setup. Look, as the machine is doing it from a cold boot. It might flash on one of the upper corners what key or, you know, it's usually upper right or lower left on what key to hit to get into the BIOS.
And it should be in your manual also.
Dave, what did you mean by cold boot?
Cold boot is you got to start it right from scratch. In other words, not a reset or it's got to be a cold
boot.
Turn
the machine off, count to 10, turn
it
on again.
Yeah.
Okay. Just keep trying to get into BIOS and make sure the CD is booting first.
Yep.
Before the hard drive.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll keep trying. If I don't, I'll see you tomorrow, Dave.
Okay.
That's the way to do it.
All right, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
All right, our next caller is Paul from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Guys, I've got two computers, two similar problems. One is an XP. It's a built system that all the components are different. I clean the fan, so the fan's clean and there's no dust in it. It just turns off, shuts down in the middle of after an hour, hour and a half. It'll be running fine. I'll open a bunch of windows, and it'll just shut down.
Is the fan moving on the power supply?
Yep.
You might have a power supply that's going.
And it could also be that the heat sink on the CPU. How old is this machine?
It's about 2 years.
Still, it could be the heat sink itself on the CPU is loose.
Or dirty.
Okay.
Or dirty. And that's overheating, not the machine, but the actual CPU itself.
The fan on the CPU is also turning?
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that I've been seeing lately with some of these power outages and that, blown capacitors on the motherboard. In other words, if you look at the motherboard and you look along the capacitors, you should see nice silver tops. And if you see any of that have, like, seepage coming from them, or they're expanded, you know, they kind of bubbled up.
Okay.
You might want to inspect the board there. We've had at least three machines in just in the past 4 to 5 days that the capacitors have literally bubbled up and they've turned brown.
I've got a computer with a blown NVIDIA video card. Same thing. There was a worldwide capacitor issue. Apparently, the backstory is there was some industrial espionage going on, and a company stole the formula for capacitors and started making their own capacitors to undercut the rest of the market, but they didn't steal enough of the formula, and they were missing a key chemical. So now there's millions of these bad capacitors floating around the internet for the last 3 or 4 years.
And probably from China.
Yeah, Korea. North, I think it was. Yeah, if you Google bad capacitor or swollen capacitor, you'll find a bunch of stuff about it.
Okay, because I had a friend, he put this together. He went to he bought all the different parts at Egg. Was it egg.com? Or
Newegg, yeah.
Yeah, Newegg.
Okay, and the other one, I've got a Vista system that's a year old. It's a Dell system. It goes to PowerSave, and then I cannot get out of PowerSave, and I've got to turn it off and just reboot it and start again.
Have you been into the control panel and the power settings?
Yeah, everything is fine there. I have it
set. Is this a desktop or a laptop?
It's a desktop.
Many desktops don't do the power save functions.
That's why I disable them totally.
Yeah, just because that's available to you in Windows doesn't mean it works. Many desktops don't have power save functions built into the motherboard. One of the ways they save money in creating those motherboards. So your best bet is to just turn that off.
Okay. And if it's turned off, if it is turned off, I think this is a known I did some research on it. It's a known problem with Dell systems. But
check the hibernation, Paul.
Okay.
There's a hibernation feature along with power saving.
All right.
So check all that stuff. We have to take a break.
Okay, thanks.
So thank you very much. We have a bunch of folks still on the line, but there are a couple of lines open. So if you haven't called in, I have no idea why you haven't. 222-1180 is the number. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. And, of course, if you're a Verizon wireless customer, it's *1180. And those are all free calls. So we're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reichs, Alex Vanderweel. Me, Nick Francesco, and you, it is 32 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites, and as you know, we are the greatest computer show in the... I called him Chris Reichs, didn't I? There's no S on Chris Reich. He's only one Reich, not the entire Third Reichs over and over again. Back in a couple of minutes. Back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
I talk to the radio. I talk to the television. It's 37 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbites. Let's go right back to the phones, because we've got quite a number of people on. And
they missed us.
They missed us. We missed them.
Yep. That's the way it goes.
Our next caller is Frank from Honey Eye Falls, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Thanks, Nick. It's great to have you guys back. I missed you.
Thank you. We missed you too, Frank.
I have for my office, I have two workstations and a small server. I've got a Microsoft Small Business Network server, and it just serves two workstations. It's about 5 years old, and when I looked at the graphic, it only has one drive, C drive. I know they're not supposed to be set up that way. I'm all out of space, and the space that I've used is not the data. It's the operating system, and the system files actually have completely encompassed my 70 gigs, and I'm wondering what I can do about it.
Well,
70 gig?
The operating system shouldn't take 70 gig unless you've loaded a massive number of programs on that thing.
Log files I've seen go crazy and fill up hard drives.
Yeah, I was about to say log files and temp files are probably what took over.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I tried to pull them out because, you know, I found it hard to believe, too, and I wanted your opinion. I took a bunch of log files out and temp files, and I put them on a separate backup because you don't need those all the time.
Right.
And it bought me about 5 gig, but still, could 65 gig be...
Is there a program that scans a whole Windows disk and calculates all the folder sizes? There's a really neat one for the Mac called What Size.
And there's a great one for Linux, too, but I don't know about one for Windows.
Yeah, I just find it hard. Like Nick said, your OS no way would take up
70
gig. Right,
so you got to find out where that space is.
Yeah, there's some other programs or something else on there that's eating up the space.
Okay, good. That's good. That's good advice.
Yeah.
I knew that you would have a sense of something's going on. And the second thing is, if there comes a time when I... I have to kind of quick and dirty do something, obviously a new server, but could I just image that drive to like a 150 or a 500 gig hard drive and just slip it back in?
Well, you might have to be careful. A five-year-old drive may not support more than 128. You got to see if you have an ATA 4 or ATA 5 controller.
There are a couple of things going on here. First, yes, you could probably mirror it to at least a larger drive.
A larger drive.
Well, I wouldn't mirror. I'd just go.
The second, but better would be if you've got a 5-year-old drive, it's probably time to replace it anyway before it dies on you.
Get twin 250s.
But, what I would suggest is you get more than one drive.
Okay.
One drive for the C drive that you have now. Let it fill up with logs and event. Who cares? But the other drive would be where you keep your data or your data. You choose.
Mm-hmm. But this is so the system. This drive is too big for literally the system files at this point. I mean, this
which is why you want to find a utility that will scan your whole hard drive until you where those files are, that where that space is being used.
But what I'm saying here, Frank, is you replace the drive you have with a bigger drive.
I got you.
And that is only for the system files.
Gotcha.
Still. So they have room to grow.
I got you.
Then you add a second drive for data.
Perfect. And is that hard to do?
It is not hard to do, but it will cost you for the drives and the time of someone to do it.
You got
to
ghost it. What you want to do is get a product like Ghost, and you can ghost.
Many drives, I know Western Digital drives, come with a cloning tool when you buy the new drive.
I got you.
Quite frequently.
Right.
And it would really be just ghosting it or, what do you call it, imaging it.
Essentially, you're imaging it to a new drive,
And I don't have to reset up the whole thing because my thinking is this, that if I'm going to do that, I might as well just get a new server. I mean, or if this is quicker and easier, maybe I'll do that.
Ghosting literally makes an identical, bootable copy of your existing drive.
I got you. Well, that's great advice. Thank you very much.
There you go.
All right. Have a good year.
You too.
You too. Is he not going to call us again, ever?
No.
For an entire year?
Or you might listen.
And if anybody knows of a good file for Windows that scans the whole hard drive, because you can do properties on individual folders.
Yeah,
right? But there's
got to
be a way
scan.
To calculate the whole hard drive and find where your files
are. Yeah,
where
the folders are. Give you a summary.
Right. I know
PC Tools might have some.
Yeah, I know of several
PC
under
World.
Linux, but.
I know several under the Mac.
But I don't. I truly don't. I've never really.
Well, if he has 1.21 giga files used up as log files. He's not going to find all of them if they're small, right?
But there might be
there's probably a folder
called logs that
will
find full.
A folder that's
and
large.
It'll give you where the biggest folder is, and then within that folder, if it gave you a summary saying that, this particular folder here is eating up 27 gig, you might look in that folder and wonder what's taking.
There is a program called Folder Sizes.
I just found one called i.disk for Windows.
Right. Folder Sizes.
I'm digging around at cnetsdownload.com.
So he's got options.
It does cost money, but you can try it for free.
i.disk is completely free, but it hasn't been updated since 2003.
Right, whereas Folder Sizes has been updated.
Runs an XP, so maybe it hasn't need. See, that's the
folder
trick.
See,
it
a single user license is $50. So,
that's a lot.
It is a lot, except that this is the guy's business.
Yeah. He's running this as a business.
You know, at what point...
business expense.
Right. At what point do you say, it's your business?
Yep.
Spend a buck. I mean, I realize
these
are parlous economic times. I get all that.
Because he is his own IT guy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. PowerDesk Pro will do it. We're looking over here in IRC. There's a bunch of people showing us stuff. Thank you, Drac. We're getting some choices.
Well, we got another person here that's looking for backup.
Yeah. All right. Do we have time for another caller?
Yeah.
We do. We have time for plenty of callers.
See, she even puts our times there.
Oh, look at this. We got plenty of time.
She's
way better than I ever expected. And certainly better than we deserve. Thank you, Alex. Let's have a round of applause for Alex.
Yay!
Hundreds of thousands of people out there in the world, Alex, are applauding you right at this moment. It's just a tear in my eye. Or perhaps it's just a... thank you. Very good.
AskNick.com.
There we go. Our next caller is George from Fairport, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Can you hear the applause from Fairport?
We can. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I currently back up my files on flash drives, and I'm thinking about two other options, either a service like Carbonite or another physical hard drive. And I'm wondering which option is better in terms of protection from hackers.
Neither.
Well, neither.
Neither, huh?
You're always vulnerable.
Because the hacker happens at your machine, so if they've hacked one of your folders, one of your files, that hack is going to get backed up, right? So really it's one of two things. The Carbonite service or S3 or, you know, Google, whatever all those is.
Yep.
It depends on who you trust. Because you're now giving your personal and private data to those people.
Exactly.
And so that's a problem.
But the benefit of that is an off-site backup. So worst case, your house burns down, your data is still somewhere.
Right.
So, and it becomes convenient to back up to a hard drive because you can get, you know, pretty big hard drives pretty cheap, and you don't have to keep breaking it down into 4 or 8 gig chunks for a flash drive. And then just get a couple of external hard drives and rotate them, you know, take one to the office, so, and you have one at home. So now you have a local backup and an off-site backup.
Right.
So both of those situations are advantageous for file loss.
Right.
If you get hacked, you know, there's almost nothing for that.
And very few of the services are free. I mean, they're not expensive.
Right.
But they're not free.
Right.
And certainly an external hard drive is not free. What I did is I have a couple of systems on out there on the web, nickf.com and asknick.com. AskNick.com.
Ding.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody dings. And a couple of others. And I just back up to the space I have on those every night. And they're cheap. That's, you know, through CLSS Enterprises, it's less than...
Some people who have two computers will back up each one on the other, which...
That's reasonable.
It's better than nothing.
Better than nothing, and it's unlikely that both computers will fail at the same time.
Right, but if there is a fire or whatever, then you've lost.
How about a hard drive with a router? Is that more...
A Buffalo drive is a network drive.
Well, Buffalo is a brand drive. Yeah, a network-attached storage, a hard drive with an Ethernet port. That's convenient because then you plug it on your network and all of your computers can back up to it.
And then you put it in one of those fire safes. One of those fire safes.
Well, you need a data-ready fire safe.
Which we get on here on our show.
Actually, SentrySafe makes a safe with a hard drive already built into it.
So, how much data are we talking about backing up?
Say again?
How much data are we backing up, Dave? George, sorry.
I mean, I don't know, but it's a lot of financial files.
George, hold on. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with a lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
Alex Vanderweel, ladies and gentlemen.
There she is. On the ball.
Although that's kind of sad when you have to give yourself your own applause.
Yeah, but you're only giving
this
it because...
This is radio.
It's radio. We do that. 51 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. We're talking to George here about his... Are you still there, George?
I'm still here, yep.
Oh, that's
still
too bad. I mean, good. There you go. That's what I like to hear. About his stuff. One of the things you might want to look at is the Amazon S3, the Amazon Web Services. They're at aws.amazon.com/S3. They are a storage service. They guarantee your stuff. They guarantee its safety, all the other yada, yada, yadas, right? And they're actually, depending on how much data you have, they're astonishingly cheap.
You know, 15 cents a gig per month for the first 50 terabytes.
Yeah, right. 15 cents a gig, 14 cents for the next 50 terabytes, et cetera, et cetera. 10 cents a gig for data transfer. A penny per thousand requests in and out. One of the things that you can do is they have a simple monthly calculator where you put in the size of your storage, how much data you transfer in and out every month, how many times you do it, and that stuff. And it'll tell you basically what their service would cost you a month. Now, again, if this is for your business, you may find that it's, for an individual, maybe it's a lot of money. But for, you know, even if it's a dollar a month, it might be a lot of money. But for a business, that kind of money is not a lot.
You know, I was leaning towards a second hard drive because my current hard drive is 4 years old, so it might be nearing the end of its life. But I've heard that if you use a router, it's more difficult to hack into.
The router doesn't do it. It's the firewall that does it.
Firewall.
Well, the NAT traversal in the router. You should have a router, period, even if there's only one computer connected to the Internet.
Yes.
Do not connect directly into your DSL or cable router. You should have your own LAN router because that gives you a private address, a private network disconnected from the Internet, which makes it harder for people to break in.
Okay.
Right.
So you should have a router, period. Whether you have a network-attached storage is another question.
Okay.
Network-attached storage is basically a hard drive with an Ethernet jack so that you can plug it into your network, and then every computer on your network can back up very easily or see the hard drive as storage. Actually, Apple makes a neat device called the Time Capsule. It's a wired router, wireless router, print server, and a hard drive all in one little box to be the center of your network. Works with Mac or Windows. So it does everything in one box.
All right, George, those are some ideas. We really have to move on.
Okay, thanks, guy. Good to have you back. I don't get my anxiety attacks at 11 anymore.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks, George. All right, our next caller is John from Brighton, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good. And you?
Okay, fine, thanks. I have a computer for my son, which turns out it was given to us as sort of a present, and it has a counterfeit versions of Windows on it.
Yeah.
And as a result, we can't connect to my wireless router. It's lacking a certificate.
Right.
And obviously, we can't do any updating. I have my father-in-law's computer, which I'd like to give him. It's about 3 years old. I'd like to restore it back to its original factory default settings and also wipe out any of his financial data.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away. But I don't have the recovery disk. I tried to restore back to a certain point, but I'd like it to be as though it was just coming out of the box, and then I'll just like...
What brand is it?
Oh, it's sort of in...
Does it have the Windows sticker on the bottom of it?
Or on the side somewhere with your Windows serial number. A lot of times you can call the manufacturer, Dell, HP, Compaq, whatever, and get replacement disks, those replacement restore disks.
Mm-hmm.
But many times those companies don't make disks anymore. It's on a hidden partition on your computer. So you need to press Control-Alt-F12 to get into that hidden restore partition. Then you can erase your main hard drive and restore it to factory default.
But it may ask for your...
You'll need your Windows. Yeah, you need likely Windows need your Windows C. serial number,
right?
Which
he doesn't have if it's a fake version of Windows.
But no. The other computer may.
The other computer he wants to give him, it was his father's. He wants to clean up. If there's the key code on the bottom of it or on the side, then you're good to go. You can do it.
Right.
Yeah, I have the computer right in front of me. It says MGM Technology Group. Other than that,
oh, they're in Irondequoit.
You're in town. Yeah,
they're in Irondequoit on Ridge Road.
You ought to be able to give them a call with that serial number, and they can tell you all about it.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
There you go.
Another advantage of
buying
local.
Well, we should mention that Gil called it and suggested about large files. Do a search on any file, and then use the file option to see narrow down the search to see your large files.
Right. In Windows, there's an advanced search properties where you can search for files larger than a gig, for example.
Yep.
That might help.
All right, our next caller, and we only got a couple of minutes. So Sue from Irondequoit, what's your question?
Hey, guys, I've got a mini laptop.
Which one?
You know, Dave.
Yeah, she's got the EEE.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Anyway, I got a 16 gig flash drive. I did a backup on some of my files off my computer onto the flash drive. When I plug it into my mini, will it fire up to pick the ones I want to use at that time?
It should. I believe the EEPC will read a 16 gig flash drive, yes.
Okay.
So what will happen is when you turn your machine on, let it boot up normally.
Right.
Then put in the six. Is this a little SD card or what is it?
Yeah, it's an SD card.
It's not even an SD card. It's a regular flash drive.
USB. USB.
Thumb
right.
drive?
USB, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Once after it boots up, plug it in and the EEPC will read it and it'll come up on the desktop.
Okay.
And you'll be fine.
Oh, one other question that we'll answer for while I got her on the phone here is what you were saying in Firefox. Ron tries to pull up pictures in the red X's.
No, he's on Google. When he fires up the computer in the Google, everything with his little X, the images will not show on display. Nothing. You do Google Images, there's all little X's.
That's a preference. That's a preference in most browsers to turn off displaying images to make the browser open faster.
Okay,
that's leftover from the modem days.
Yeah, you got to go into the preferences of Firefox.
Or whatever browser you're using.
Yeah, she's using Firefox.
No, he's using Internet Explorer.
Oh, Internet Explorer.
In that case, it's probably because of the latest update from Microsoft. They specifically turn off images because there are viruses that will come in through that.
Oh.
You really shouldn't be using Internet Explorer. You should be using Firefox.
Yeah. I'll download that.
Download that and install it. Read carefully as it installs. There will be one screen that says, do you want to import your bookmarks?
Yeah.
And you have choices of Internet Explorer, whatever. You say yes. Make sure that Internet Explorer is chosen.
Okay.
And then when you bring up Firefox, all of your bookmarks and everything else will be there.
And it's a safer browser to use.
Just, I know. I like Firefox.
Yeah, yeah, just delete the off the desktop and out of the Bluey.
Okay, I will.
Okay, so
ready? Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Sis, this is your sister calling in?
That was my sister, yeah.
Your sister calls into the show and takes up our valuable time with a legitimate computer.
The only time you can get a hold of Dave. Yeah. I tell my wife, if you want to talk to me, call me on Sunday.
Sue, you can call us anytime you like. All right, that music tells us we are at the end of another show. I want to thank every single one of you called in. I want to apologize to all of you to whom we did not get. Call in earlier next time. We had a whole opening segment with no calls, and that would have been a perfect time for you to call in and get your question. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the great Chris Reich, who comes in here every week and records the show and then puts it up in the podcast beautifully. The mighty Alex Vanderweel, who does such an incredible job there and for all our stuff. I'm Nick Francesco. It is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks.